1 John chapter 4, what is unconditional love? When I first heard Gianna sing, I was sitting in the audience like many of you and was deeply affected, but I have to tell you, being up here with her, it's even more powerful. What a demonstration of God's wonderful love. And to hear her sing, I love you, Lord. It reminded me as I was thinking about it, she survived, but God still loves every one of those babies that did not survive. What is unconditional love? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it's apparent to me that one of the greatest needs in our society is to know about love. People want love, and all we see is hatred and violence, abuse, mistreatment, rejection, bitterness. We see hostility in the American home, the breakup of the family. We see everything that is opposite of the love of God. We are starving for love. And even those of us who have come to know the Lord, we can start thinking and acting and believing and just being like non-believers. And before we know it, we also are stripped of the beauty of God's love because of our own carnal attitudes and selfishness and our desire to be more like the world and to listen to them rather than to God. Before we know it, we too are just like them, needing desperately a fresh touch of the love of God. We're aware that God loves us and sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, but we need love and we need to understand it. There's so many parents, because of the moral disaster and catastrophe in our society, who don't know what unconditional love is. So in their relationship with their children, everything is conditional. You do this and Daddy will love you. You be a good girl and Mommy will love you. My friends, that's conditional love. That's not unconditional love. People need to know that they're loved no matter what happens, no matter what they're like, no matter what tragedies have happened. People who've been involved in abortion need to know that God loves them. God doesn't hate them. Homosexuals need to know that God loves them. God doesn't hate them. God hates sin. Adulterers need to know that God loves them. God doesn't hate adulterers. God loves adulterers. God hates adultery. Liars, thieves, those who cheat. We all need to know that God loves us, even though He knows what we're like. Unconditional love. People are starving for love. We are not attracted. We don't come back to the Father's care and come back to the Father's home because somebody rebuked us. We come back because we know we're loved. When the prodigal son woke up in a pig pen and knew that he had wasted his substance with riotous and immoral living, and this wretched kid now just sitting in a pig pen, filthy and a long ways away from his father's care, he came to himself and realized he had sinned, but it was his father's love that drew him back. And long before he ever got close to the father's house, the father ran down the road and threw his arms around him and hugged him and kissed him repeatedly and said, "This my son was lost and he's found. Let's rejoice and be merry." I don't know how far away you are from God today. I don't know where you are. I don't know how much you feel God's love or whether you understand God's love. I'm here to tell you today that God's love is absolutely unconditional. God knows what we're like better than we know ourselves. God knows where you blow your stack and where you treat your family and your friends wrong. God knows about the sin that's going on in your life. God knows about all that corruption you're with. He knows all about it, and He still loves you, and He still loves me. We need desperately in this society to understand the unconditional love of God. In 1 John 4, beginning at verse 7, we read down to the end of the chapter these beautiful words. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let's pray. Father, in these few short moments, help us to understand your unconditional love, that no matter what mess we're in, no matter what problems have occurred, no matter what struggles we have, there's a God who loves us even though he knows what we're like. Help us to understand it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Unconditional love is based on at least the following five things. One, it's love that's based on the character of God himself. Did you know that God has to love you in this way because he has no choice? It is his character, it is his nature. There is no options. There's no taint or stain or sin in God. It's impossible for God to lie. And God is love. Whatever he does is love. No matter what you think about it, no matter how category bad or category good you put it in, God, everything he does and is love. It's the character of God. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. Chapter 4, verse 16, God is love. He's not only love, he's not just the concept of love, but the essential character of the heart of God is he is love. God loves you. Unconditional love is based on the character of God. We'll never understand it, much less experience it, until we know that it is God's character, it's God's nature. That's who God is, and nothing's going to change it. God is love. There are three things involved in that when we speak of the character of God being unconditional love. Turn please to Deuteronomy chapter 7. The first is God's faithfulness. You cannot talk about unconditional love without talking about faithfulness. The Bible says that the love of a friend is there always. He's even born in adversity. Doesn't matter what trouble comes, a friend loves at all times. Unconditional love is faithful love. It's not saying, I'll love you forever, provided it doesn't rain, I'll be over tonight. Or, I'll love you forever, unless I find somebody else that's more attractive, more desirable than you are, of course. There are no conditions. I'll love you if you love me. None of that. God's love and his character is rooted in his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples in the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Be good for you just to find it. Jeremiah, Lamentations. And just a short little book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And look at chapter 3. Lamentations of the people of Israel crying over the destruction of Jerusalem and lamenting their temple being destroyed. And looking at it all, they just poured out their hearts to God. God, why have you forsaken us? And in this are some beautiful statements about God's unconditional love. It's It's based on His faithfulness. Lamentations 3, we look at verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I thought about it this morning as early I was coming over here, and I noticed the moon. The moon was brilliant. It was orange in the early morning hours this morning. It was just gorgeous, full moon. And I realized that the very light of that moon that we were looking at is the light of the sun, that the moon simply reflects the sun's light. And I thought about it as it related to our Lord, because the Bible calls our Lord, the Messiah, in Malachi 4, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, who arises with healing in His wings. And I thought about how in Philippians 2, where it tells us to hold forth the word as lights in this world, that it uses the word that refers to the moon's light, because we are simply reflecting the light of the sun of righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about how that sun on that moon surface, namely the Lord's love towards us, does arise every day with healing in His wings, so to speak. In other words, the Lord will emotionally heal us by His wonderful love. And the next day when we wake up, no matter what has happened to mess up our lives that day previous, when we wake up, His mercy is new again. Why? Great is your faithfulness. God never changes. So when you speak of unconditional love, you're speaking of the faithfulness of God. But it's not simply God's faithfulness, it's also God's feelings. Turn please to Psalm 103. When you say love is based on the character of God, it does involve God's faithfulness, but it also involves God's feelings. Psalm 103. I like many, many times when I'm down, discouraged, and defeated about something, I love to reflect on the feelings of God, the emotions of God. Now, those of you who do not have a feeling for feeling, those of you who do not feel that you're emotionally inclined, I want you to know that you are. It just takes maybe a little more effort to expose it. But we all have feelings, but some of us appear to be more, quote, rational, objective, etc., etc. Don't you often find that God often puts in a marriage one person with a little more feeling than the other one? Have you noticed that? God doesn't always put the same kind of people together. In fact, sometimes when I see people married, I think, this isn't going to work. And that's why I love Chuck and Barb Snyder's book. I love the title. It says, Irreconcilable Differences, the Key to a Great Marriage. You know, people in our state are breaking up over irreconcilable differences, and it makes me laugh, because who isn't married to somebody with whom you have irreconcilable differences? But you love them anyway. Marriage is based on what? A vow. You had a vow. You spoke a vow. You said, I'll be faithful until death do us part. Hey, it didn't say until we have an argument. It didn't say until, you know, we can't stand each other. No, it said till death do us part. That's what it said. And I think every couple, every now and then, I look at each other and say, you know, I'm stuck with you whether I like it or not. Or maybe it'd be better to say, you're stuck with me whether you like it or not. The point is, it's based on faithfulness. Aren't you glad that God is faithful to you? But aren't you also glad that God has feelings, that God has emotion? Why, your emotions, whatever they are, and you expressed it, I noticed many of you, like I did this morning as we heard Gianna sing. But let me tell you something. Your feelings and emotions are simply a reflection of the heart of God. God's unconditional love also involves His feelings, His mercy, His pity, His compassion. I read in Psalm 103, does God care that 1.5 million babies are being killed every year? Does God care about the senseless killings among our young people as well as adults that go on our streets all the time? Does God care about people who are physically handicapped and impaired? Does God care that you lost your hearing and you can't see anymore? Does God care that you can hardly walk anymore? Does God care that you have pain? Does God care about your cancer? Does God care about the fact that you're scared to death? You don't have another week to live. Does God care about all that? In Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever, that's for sure. But He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. And aren't we all glad of that? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children. The word for compassion and mercy. So the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God's compassion is stronger than any one of us could ever hope to have toward anybody. God feels strongly about you. From the moment you began in your mother's womb to the present state of your life right now, God cares about you. He loves you intimately. And He's acquainted with all your ways. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to deal. And He loves you. No matter what you've thought, no matter what you've said, no matter what you have done, God flat out loves you. There may be plenty of people around you who know you who find no reason to continue to love you. You don't deserve it, and they just soon not have anything to do with you. But God loves you. I don't care who you are that walked into this meeting today. God loves you. God has faithfulness. God has feelings. But there's a third thing that's involved when we say unconditional love rooted in the character of God. And that is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please, in the New Testament. God's forgiveness. After one of our Sanctity of Life Sundays, a young gal told me that she had had abortion at age 15, had gotten pregnant. Her parents, by the way, urged her to get an abortion so they wouldn't have to face the problem and they could handle it, they said, very easily, and nobody would know. And they bought all the arguments that the world gave them about it being not really a real person. It's just a thing. It's just an organism of some sort in the womb. They bought it all. Good people. Love the Lord. Christians. But trying to protect themselves and their 15-year-old daughter thought the best thing is to have an abortion because she had sex outside of marriage, of course, and it was an unwanted pregnancy. So just have an abortion. After all, others have done it, and they said it's okay, no problem. That's why they didn't like my sermons on Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's hard to tell sometimes when somebody's mad what the real issue is, isn't it? Both for me and for you. So it took a while. Finally, the Holy Spirit of God began to use the Word of God in these people's lives and broke them. And the parents first, not the child. The child was confused. The parents began to realize that they were responsible for urging their little girl to get an abortion. That they had literally killed a human being and made a decision to do that and to have it done and to support it and pay for it. And all of a sudden, the tragedy of that began to hit them. And as Christians, they could hardly forgive themselves for what they had done. For a while, they went to another church to try to hear a different message. But you know, it's amazing how the Word of God works on you. You know what I mean? It gets in, you can't run away from it. You know, they first started saying, it's that loudmouth down there at Calvary. If we just get away from him, we'd be all right. The trouble is, the Word of God, you can't run away from it. God knows where you're going. And He began to work on them. They finally came back. They're here now. And God has given them a wonderful, wonderful peace because they knew of His forgiveness. That's something tough to live with. Oh, every time we have this, Sonny, there's a pain in their hearts, but now they're supporters. Hey, preach it, Pastor. Let folks know. It's not a simple issue. It's not something to just go away. But also understand that there's forgiveness. And we need to confess our sins. And there are parents who have urged their children to do it, who need to confess their sins. There are husbands who have urged their wives to do it, to confess their sins. There are men who have urged out of extramarital affairs to have that person have an abortion. It happens all the time. And those men need to get right with the Lord, as surely as the woman. My dear friends, understand something. We're talking about the killing of human life. It is murder. And there's no way of getting around it. But thanks be unto our God. He is merciful. He is gracious. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's mindful that we are but dust. You're going to hear this evening from a medical doctor who was an abortionist, who came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and stopped it. And you're going to hear tonight her testimony. It's not easy. A very dear doctor friend of mine, head of gynecology and obstetrics in one of the biggest hospitals in the United States, a Christian man. He came to know the Lord during the process of heading up abortions. He did many abortions himself. And we used to argue all the time about it. And when the Word of God finally got into his heart and his soul and began to see what God said and stopped defending it, I'll never forget the agony of soul. I'll never forget the heartache he went through, the tears he shed, the brokenness. He even came here to our church several years ago and shared it on a Sunday evening as testimony and could hardly do it. It was hard for him to tell the audience, to live with the memory of that. But as he has told me many, many times, were it not for the forgiveness of the Lord, I couldn't go on. God's wonderful, unconditional love. He will forgive you no matter what has happened. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. God will forgive you. Over in Colossians, which follows in a couple of books after Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." He has forgiven us. God's unconditional love. We don't deserve it. We've never done anything to prove that we deserve it. We can't earn it. God just flat out loves us because the essential character of the heart of God is love. Number two, unconditional love, and I do know what time it is. Just relax. Amen? Be comfortable. Number two, God's love is not only based on the character of God Himself, but it's based on the cross of Jesus Christ. You want to see love? I'll tell you where to go. You go to the cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look in our text in 1 John 4, please, verse 9. 1 John 4, back in our text of today, verse 9. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us." You want to see it? You want to understand it? You want to know what it's like, this unconditional love of God? Here it is. God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God. Unconditional love doesn't need the object of its love to respond to it. Did you know that? A lot of parents get hurt because their kids don't respond to them the way they want. Unconditional love is loving no matter what response you get. God loves you no matter what response you give to Him. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction of His wrath against sin. He paid for it. In other words, your sin, no matter what it was, no matter what it is, your sin's been paid for by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given Himself an offering for us." When the Bible tells husbands to love their wives, it says, "As Jesus Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." It's a sacrificial love. Number three, you say, what is unconditional love? It's love based on the character of God Himself. It's a love that's based on the cross of Jesus Christ, and it's love that's based on the cleansing of our sins. 1 John 4:10 says, the propitiation for our sins. Flip back to chapter 1 of 1 John. Look at verse 7. This is a recurring theme in 1 John. The cleansing of our sins. Unconditional love can do that. If it's not there, it won't happen. Love that is not unconditional love always requires something at some point. Brings it up again and demands payment. Demands that somehow revenge, pound of flesh, something. We need a settlement here. We just can't wipe this away. But unconditional love wipes it away. Unconditional love removes it as far as the east is from the west. Unconditional love says, I'll remember your sins against you no more. Unconditional love says, you are cleansed as though it were never there. Wow. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. We're told that God's love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12. 1 Peter 4:8 says, have fervent love toward one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 lists some very gross sinful lifestyles. Homosexuals, adulterers, murderers, all that. But 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. God's unconditional love is based on the cleansing of our sins. Unconditional love doesn't keep tolerating sin. Unconditional love cleanses it and takes it away. If we confess our sins, says 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sweeter peace that can come to the human heart than to know that your sins are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are clean. There is no more wonderful feeling in life than know, no matter what you have done or said or thought, that you are clean. Not clean because you deserve it. Not clean because of your performance or all you've done for the Lord. You are clean on the basis of one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, including abortion. Done. Number four, God's wonderful unconditional love is not only based on the character of God, the cross of Jesus Christ, and the cleansing of our sins, but it's a love that's based on the creation of a new nature from God. Look back at 1 John 4:7 and 8 again. Love that's based on the creation of a new nature from God. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. A new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Verse 15 of chapter 4 of 1 John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We get a new nature. It's divine. It comes from the Lord. I can't put it into a test tube and show it to you. But it's real. The Bible teaches that we become new creatures. We are born of God. New nature from God. Why? Because God loves us. And everyone who is born of God knows God and can experience that wonderful love of God. One final thing. Understand that unconditional love being expressed in our lives is also based on the control of the Holy Spirit. The control of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, Christian friends. Because you have a new nature from God does not mean that you are manifesting unconditional love to people. You certainly have the potential. I certainly have the potential and the capacity to love with the love of God to anybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter whether they're in my social understanding or not. I have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to love them, but it doesn't mean that I do. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit produces love It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. My advice: do not hate abortionists. Love them. My advice: love them. There are people that are hard to forgive. Did you hear what Gianna said about her real mother, whom she's never met, does not know, 17-year-old girl, probably scared, still suffering from it, maybe doesn't know about Gianna, I don't know. She said, I've forgiven her. If somebody tried to take your life, I've forgiven her. Several years ago, I met a couple of former bikers with the Hell's Angels and had the joy of seeing them come to Christ. And the one gal who later married this gentleman, but at the time was just living with him, riding on his motorcycle, she was beat up pretty severely by a gentleman who was now in prison with the Hell's Angels. Her body shows the results of it. She's incapacitated to this day and was really beaten unmercifully and was left for dead. But she survived it and physically is very handicapped. And she came later then to know the Lord, receive Christ. And one of the issues she struggled with was the man who beat her up. And for years she found it hard to forgive this man. And we talked about the control of the Holy Spirit of God. That when God's Spirit is controlling you, you can forgive anyone, no matter what they've done. There's some of you sitting right now that have never even forgiven your parents, or fellow employees, or some friend, or somebody that did something to you. And I'll never forget, as she and now her husband that she married, the guy she rode around on my motorcycle with, I'll never forget the day they got courage to go to the prison and to visit that man who had beat her up. And it was the most difficult thing in her life, but she went to him. They sat there in that little room across the table from him, and she said, you know, humanly, I'd like to kill you. But she said, I came to know somebody who forgave me for everything I've ever done. And because of him, and because of his work in my heart, I just want to come here and tell you that I forgive you for what you've done to me. The guy didn't show anything. Swore at her, told her to get out of there. She kept coming every week. He then told her, the only reason you're coming is because you got some sort of guilt trip you're on. But it was him. And eventually, by her loving visits and bringing him things, she had the joy of leading that man to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Listen, you can forgive anybody through the control of the Holy Spirit. And is there somebody you can't forgive? Is it your mate? Is it your husband? Is it your kids? Is it somebody who's hurt you? Pastor friend of mine, his wife was raped. They were on our staff years ago, raped in the middle of the night while he was gone on a meeting. She suffered years from that. But later she, by the power of the Holy Spirit, went and told the rapist that she forgave him and led him to Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, you can forgive anybody with the power of God's Holy Spirit when you have God's unconditional love. Understand something. God's love is available to anybody. God can change your life right now. And some of you are running away from the love of the Lord. And love can turn you upside down and make you into something you never dreamed. Let's close with prayer. Father, you know that our world is desperately in need of experiencing your wonderful love. Father, you know how many people here have got problems, sins of the past and the present that are keeping them from the joy of the Lord and from a loving relationship with you and others. God, I thank you for your forgiveness. I pray, Lord, for those in our audience that have never made a personal commitment to you, that they'll understand that until they know you, they can't know and experience your love. They need to be born again. God, I pray that they'll cry out for you. Lord, I do pray for many, many people here who've been reminded as we've talked this morning of things in their life that need to be straightened out. God, would you once again, by the power of your Holy Spirit, sweep over our audience. Touch us, Lord. Remind us of your love for us. Help us to get right with you and with others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.